Microsoft to Google, the shoe is on the other foot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Computer giant Microsoft, often the target of antitrust allegations, is filing a suit of its own. An antitrust complaint against Google in Europe, claiming Google is strangling search engine competition. The European suit could be a precursor to a similar complaint against Google in the U.S., the BBC's Mark Gregory reports.
European regulators have been formally investigating Google since last November, when four smaller rivals complained that the search giant was manipulating search results. The news today is that Microsoft has joined the complaint. The move is not without irony. Microsoft itself was the target of a decade-long spat with Europe's anti-competition authorities, and in the end paid over $1 billion to Europe, at the time a record fine for an individual company. Rupert Goodwin's editor of the technology website ZDNet says he's not surprised by the move.
Microsoft has failed completely to make any headway against Google, in Europe in particular, on the online search market.
If found guilty, Google could, in theory, be fined millions or even billions of dollars, maybe approaching or even surpassing their record fines once paid by Microsoft. In London, I'm the BBC's Mark Gregory for Marketplace.
Today could be another critical day for Europe as it grapples with its debt crisis. Authorities in Ireland will unveil just how healthy or unhealthy Irish banks are as part of new stress tests. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live to talk about it. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Now, we reported months ago that Ireland was bailed out. Why are we back here again?
Well, yes, it was bailed out with loans from the EU and the IMF, and the Irish government has already pumped a lot of this bailout money into its banks, but this clearly isn't enough. The banks need more capital, and it's expected to be revealed today that they need an extra $40 billion. If that is the case, it'll mean that Ireland will have eventually pumped a staggering 45% of its GDP into its banks, almost half the country's entire output for a year.
And where's this all headed, Stephen?
Well, the bailout money is borrowed by the Irish government, so investors are now fretting about the government's debt at a time when the country's in recession, unemployment's almost 15%, government revenues are falling. The worry, says Peter Tarl Larson of the financial website Breaking Views, the worry is that Dublin won't be able to repay the loans or perhaps even pay the interest on the loans.
The suspicion is that if Ireland can't do that, that it will have to, at some point in the next year or two, restructure its debts as well.
And that means not paying some of it back?
That means not paying some of it back.
And that's the ultimate fear, that Ireland will default and investors will stop lending to this and perhaps other governments in the Eurozone.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. European stocks are mostly flat at the moment. Asian markets ended in positive territory. Hershey's said today its food costs have gone up, so the price of its chocolate will too. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 71 points to close at 12,350.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 75 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. ChevyCarbonReduction.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
A new book chronicles how the Tampa Bay Rays, former big bankers owners, turned that team around. Jonah Carey wrote The Extra 2%, how Wall Street strategies took a Major League Baseball team from worst to first. And we're talking about it on this opening day of baseball. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You write about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they gave teams with big payrolls a run for their money. This sounds a lot like Moneyball, right? The book where the Oakland A's figured out some of the stats that were undervalued and then exploited that. How are the Rays different?
I think it's a little bit more nuanced. It's being 2% better than the competition in everything that they do. That's what their owner, Stuart Sternberg, who comes from Goldman Sachs, that's his belief. So we're talking about everything from signing players to contracts below market value, hiring a better manager, to marketing, and how are their ushers, and should they have more post-game concerts than the next guy? They're really thinking about things from that perspective. It's a more holistic approach, I would say, and again, a more subtle approach.
How did the owners of the Rays figure out the keys to financial and on-the-field success?
They came in and said, hey, you know, we come from the world of Wall Street. There are things that are applicable that can work out. And so one of the lessons that they took to heart was something called arbitrage. On Wall Street, it's taking two similar assets. You're buying one, you're selling the other, and you're benefiting. You're getting a little bit of a profit. And so in baseball terms, the general principle is the same. You're making this small little deal for a utility infielder or a B-level prospect or a relief pitcher. These pieces that don't seem all that huge, but collectively they add up to a whole lot.
I want to talk about the institution of baseball and how it became this game of teams that are winners because they have money and teams that are losers because they don't. The first thing that comes to mind for me are the Yankees, right?
It's always been that way. It's just that as more revenue has come into the game, the gulf has widened. That's why it's so compelling. In 2008, the Tampa Bay Rays had a $43 million payroll. Red Sox were about $140 million, and the Yankees were about $210 million, five times more than the Rays. Rays knocked them off anyway. That is a compelling underdog story. You are beating the biggest, baddest teams in the sport. And then they did it twice in 3 years. They came back and did it again in 2010.
Jonah Carey, author of The Extra 2%, How Wall Street Strategies Took a Major League Baseball Team from Worst to First. It was fun. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you.
And finally, a small group of New York State workers won the Mega Millions, $319 million prize. They're taking home $16 million each. Would have been less had one man who normally goes in on the pool not decided to back out. The unidentified guy was asked twice to play the lotto, but he said he didn't feel very lucky. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Obama administration wants to win the future, so it set up a new government agency to handle that.
The highway of government programs here is littered with carcasses of programs that were ill-conceived or ill-implemented, where large amounts of money have gone to firms, but very little innovation has come out of it.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The fate of innovation lies in the hands of governments. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.